You are listening to a Banzai Retro Club podcast. Language and topics may not always be appropriate for younger listeners. Press 1 for a groovy topic from the 1970s. Press 2 for an awesome topic from the 1980s. Or press 3 for a slamming topic from the 1990s. Please choose now. Too late. We have made your selection for you. Let's start the show.
Hey, Dalai Lama, how about something, you know, for the effort? All right. So, are you okay, recording?
I am ready? Recording, just starting okay. As of now. I didn't record any of that other stuff before.
All that other crap. Just kidding. And me bitching about my work.
Hey, yeah. No.
All right. Go ahead. All right. This is Banzai Retro Club. Can you dig it? I am Dave. Online, I've got the wonderful, talented Rose.
Hey, everybody.
And the uber popular, super duper Scott.
Nice. Hello.
the talk of the town in Florida. So what we're doing tonight is we're talking about, which is a time capsule episode, 1979. So in these episodes, we go into talk about news headlines, we talk about movies, we talk about music, we talk about TV shows. So this is kind of your, if you're around in the 1979 time period, a lot of this is going to sound very familiar to you because you lived through it, and we're going to just revisit it and rehash our own memories. So over the course of this podcast, I'm going to confess blubbering like a little boy at a certain movie. So when we get to that, I'll definitely point that out. But there was another great movie that came out was, when I just really became a fan of the monologues of Mr. Bill Murray. So that came out this year also for 1979. So a lot of great things that happened in 1979. Scott, you suggested this year. Was there something specific about 79 that, like, you were trying to, rehash or remember?
Not anything specific. I just know that, I was 11 at this time, and I think that's when a lot of my pop culture formation was being developed, I start paying more attention to movies and TV and music and stuff. And I just thought, late 70s is so close. And everybody knows our love of the 80s. That's our kind of our center topic on most things. But 78, 79, there's so many things that fall over into that spill into the 80s from that last year or two from the 70s. So it's always just still one of my favorite times as far as like pop culture goes, especially entertainment stuff, music, movies and stuff like that. So, and there's two things like that jump out at me on 79 as far as music and movie that go hand in hand. So we'll talk about that in a little bit here.
Cool. So Rose, where were you at in 1979?
Well, I had just started my first real job, the Army. I was stationed at Fort Dix, New Jersey. I was a married woman then, soon to be pregnant with my first son. So it was kind of like, I don't want to say it was a surreal experience, but it was, looking back on it, I can honestly say there wasn't a lot of, I don't know. I looked at the albums and everything, because everybody pretty much knows that, music's like my wheelhouse. But I think I was more into the movies then, even though there was a lot of music that was released. I probably didn't get into them until 15, 20 years later. So it was kind of a lot going on. So not a whole lot of focus on pop culture. And being in the military, it's that was kind of difficult anyway, mainly because they didn't. You just had a lot going on once you got to work. And then when you came home, it was just like, hurry up and get everything done and then go to bed and get up at, oh, dark 30 the next morning and go back and do it all over again.
Yeah, I remember those days.
Yeah, so it was an interesting time for me.
Yeah, so 79, for most of the year, I would have been all of 8 years old. So there's probably a lot of the news headlines that, you know, I really didn't check at the door. You know, as you are when you're an 8 year old. But I mean, there's definitely a lot of movies that when I was looking over the list kind of jumped out at me. So I'm looking forward to jumping into this.
This is 70 Something Podcast.
Evel Knievel sold separately or with the Evel Knievel stunt cycle from Ideal.
Use the force, Luke.
One of the things that just popped out at the top of this thing, and I'm sorry to jump right into news headlines, but China institutes the one child per family rule.
I remember that.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
So, and it's funny because I'm watching a TV show now called The 100 on Netflix. And they have the same kind of thing where they're like living in space and they have limited resources. You know, as I assume that's what happened with China back in 79, you know, and so I understand why you would create a law like that, but enforcing something like that just seems crazy to me.
Oh, and they enforced it too, unfortunately.
Yeah. So, were there any other like news headlines that popped out at you guys?
Well, you know, I remember a lot of this political stuff. Surprisingly, even as 11, at 11 years old, I may not have understood it, but like Pope John Paul II went to Poland, and it was the first communist country that a pope had gone to, and I remember that being a headline. I don't remember much about it, but I just remember that being a headline. What was the other one? Something about. Not the Pakistan peace treaty. Anwar Sadat and Menachem Begin signed the first peace treaty between an Arab nation and the Jewish state, which, I mean, you were growing up as a Christian, you always heard about, you know, Israel and how it was always in conflict with the rest of the world, and this was a huge deal. I just remember that being a big headline, but again, at 11, you're not paying attention. Like you, Dave, you were what, 8, right? You said?
Yeah.
You can't quite put it together with the way the world is really working. You're not paying attention to that kind of stuff. I mean, it's you hear it in the background of life, you know. So. But overall, if you look at a lot of these headlines, there was a lot of big political things that actually went down.
Oh, yeah.
Behind the scenes, you know, that we may not have remembered as detailed, you know.
So yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting stuff for sure. It's definitely a fascinating time in the 3 decades that we cover. The 79 was a really interesting year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And what, Margaret Thatcher is elected the first woman prime minister in the UK. And I seem to remember you, Rose, bringing this up before. I don't remember what the context was.
Yeah, I didn't. I don't remember either, but I know that she wasn't very popular once she got into office because, you know, her nickname was the Iron Lady, so she was very steadfast in the decisions that she made, and she unfortunately made some very harsh ones for Britain in general. You know, it takes my husband to talk about it because he actually, you know, is from the UK.
Scottish.
Yeah. And then, you know, being the fact that, you know, there's so much unemployment, you know, and poverty and things like that. And it was just ridiculous. And she, you know, never faltered in anything, any decision that she made about anything. But one of the things that I put a lighter spin on things, I suppose, but the YMCA sues the Village People for libel.
I saw that.
And I'm like, really? How could you sue somebody that's giving you free publicity? That is like the craziest thing ever. They're telling people to go to the YMCA.
Yeah.
And you're suing them because they're using your name. Good job. And then, well, this isn't lighter, but I remember, I actually don't remember him dying, Sid Vicious. Uh-huh. He was a former member of the Sex Pistols, and he dies from a heroin overdose during a trial for murdering his girlfriend. And the way that they worded that trial for murdering, they didn't say attempted murder or, you know, accidental homicide or anything like that. You know, it just blatantly says that he did. And then I remember a year later, I'm working in Germany, and I found this book in the library, and it was written by his girlfriend Nancy's mother, and it basically catalogs from the time that she was born and all the hassles and she was a wild child. She was like from birth. They think that something happened to her after she was born. Like they used a speculum to like remove her because she was stuck or something. She was a breech or whatever. And the mom talks about how she might have had like brain damage from that. And later on as a child, she was always extremely defiant and emotionless and, you know, just kind of really not giving a shit about anything that's going on. And, mm-hmm. And then she gets into talking about how she hooked up with Sid Vicious and stuff. So, but yeah, this is very strange time in his music history, but I'm sure it's probably happened, you know, numerous times that people just don't, you know, people just don't want to talk about stuff like that.
Yeah.
Some stuff that came out in 1979, which I thought was kind of interesting, was, you know, as far as products go, was Trivial Pursuit came out that year.
Yeah.
And then Sony introduced the Walkman, and it cost a whopping $200.
I know.
For a cassette player. Now think compare that to like iPads or iPods, and what MP3 players are going for nowadays. The price really has not gone up that much. like seriously, like yeah. you only had 90 minutes. Well, sometimes you'd see 120 tapes that are 120, you know, cassette mm-hmm. tapes, and if you have 120, you know, that's what 2 hours of.
Mm-hmm.
2 hours of music, where the stuff that you get for $200 or $300 now for MP3 players, whether it's an iPod or some other device or whatever, even as incorporated into your phone, you can have, you know, days of music back to back with no repeats, you know, for that long. And it's for a few $100s, it's really not that much different between the two things, but we're talking, you know, almost 40 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So the price of music players really has not gotten out of control. Even though some people say, why would I pay $400 for an MP3 player? Well, think about it. It could hold your whole library of music, when $200 back in 1979 could only hold 2 hours of your music, which is hardly two albums, really.
Mm.
So
yeah,
it's so interesting the change in the change in the mindset of the technology, you know, whereas with a Sony Walkman, you had to carry those cassettes with you. If you didn't have it with you, then you didn't listen to it.
Right.
Whereas now on my phone with my earbuds in, I subscribe to Spotify. Uh-huh. And I have, you know, every song that's ever been released or licensed through Spotify at my disposal. Yeah, and all I do is I pay a monthly subscription for Spotify in order to have the rights to play that whenever the hell I want and skip songs as much as I want and blah, blah, blah. And it's so different now that I have, you know, the entire internet at my disposal on that little, you know, device versus before I just had a cassette. So it's quite the evolution from 79 to now.
Yeah, definitely. It is,
Any other inventions that you guys saw for 79?
I like the Trivial Pursuit thing. I don't remember it being out that early. I don't remember Trivial Pursuit really hitting the mainstream gaming scene until, I don't know, mid or late 80s. I just don't remember it, but, you know, probably because maybe my parents didn't play it. I didn't have any idea of playing Trivial Pursuit.
Yeah.
Not at that age.
Yeah, I don't think it was a kid-friendly game. You know, it wasn't like one of those, you know, Hungry Hippos.
It wasn't Cards Against Humanity or anything, but it wasn't kid-friendly at the same time. two different kid-friendly things.
Yeah, it's kind of boring, but at the same time, I like a good game of Trivial Pursuit now.
I do, too.
But I'm older now.
I have the Star Wars Trivial Pursuit.
Oh, that sounds cool.
But it was before. This was only when the 6 episodes were out.
Oh, okay.
So you got
questions about Jar Jar. Great.
No. Yeah, exactly. Jar Jar. Ugh.
Yeah.
Hey! I total sidestep real quick. Did you guys see Solo yet?
I have not.
Oh.
I'm told it's good, though.
I love it. It's like the best. Okay. It's like the best Star Wars that's come out in, like, decades, literally. It's a lot of fun. Just go see it. Trust me.
I'm kind of waiting for it to get, like, on demand, and then I'll watch it there.
You can do that too, but you're gonna. It's very fun. It's enjoyable. It really is.
Cool. All right, so I want to go through some of this cost of living stuff. I thought it was kind of interesting to see things where, like, the average income for the year of 1979 was $17,500.
Where did I see this?
Average monthly rent was $280. Cost of gallon of gas was 86 cents.
Wow.
Let's see, what do we got here? I thought I saw something around a gallon of milk, but maybe I don't see it again. Girls' denim overalls, $24. Atari video game computer system, $199. You got yourself a JVC VHS video recorder system for $54.99.
Now that's surprising to me.
What, that it costs that little?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't remember when we got our first VHS.
Now, was that...
Probably because Sony hadn't had one yet, that's why.
Yeah, this is JVC, that's right.
Yeah. Oh, that's good.
Come out with one. $12,000!
And if you're so inclined, you want a men's blazer, vest, and slacks, you got that for $39.99. And your Toyota Corolla cost you $3,698.
And if you wanted to get it painted, Earl Shabbs would paint it for $99.
I was just going to say that. Painted a car for $99.95. So and watch the paint fall off a year later.
Uh-oh, better get Mako. Yeah, I always think that's interesting. When we had brought it up before, the cost of living stuff, I was like, wow, that's really interesting to know, you know, to see the differences. I mean, average income per year, you know, is under 20,000, you know, and obviously based on what everything costs, that gets you a lot further. So I get it, but it's just crazy to me to think, you know, that it feels like it wasn't that long ago. Yeah, you know, that was 79.
Did you see the interest rates? 15.25%.
Wow.
Yeah. That's triple what we're paying now.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember it being a big deal back then, too. Late 70s, early 80s. Inflation was 11%. Brutal.
Yeah.
The Dow was at 838. It's at 24,000 now, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy.
So, jumping off of the cost of living and I guess jumping into music. Let's say we'll do music next. Okay. I know Michael Jackson is a big deal for you, Rose. So Off the Wall came out.
Man, Off the Wall was like a godsend because here, you know, he had been with his brothers for so long and with Motown for so long. And then he left Motown like in the mid 70s. And, you know, he had already started a solo album career. But when he was like 14, but nothing really concrete had come about. Mm-hmm. And then along comes 1979, and it's like he blossomed into this amazing, sophisticated adult. Honestly, I felt as though he was going in the direction of like the DeFranco family and the Osmonds. You know, once they kind of lost direction, they were all like, well, I guess we just get real jobs now, kind of a thing. But he really proved to the world, I mean, this is like his first venture into adult pop music. And, you know, you had, you know, Rock With You, Don't Stop Till You Get Enough. We're just too, every song on that album. I believe Lady in My Life was on that one. She's Out of My Life. You know, that was, I honestly could say it's probably the only album I really listened to that year. I was kind of floundering going, what else do I listen to? And even with everything that was mentioned, I really couldn't commit to one whole album besides this one that I listened to that year. I mean, I could say, okay, yeah, I listened to I Am by Earth, Wind & Fire and Bad Girls by Donna Summer, but I'd be lying. This is an amazing album.
Bad, you know, Girls, too, yeah. I know. Talking about the bad girls. Uh-huh.
You know, and then, you know, because it's just like, and you think, it's just like one of those things where you think, okay, this is great. Just keep doing this. And then the future, you know, you can't see into the future, but you look back from the future to the past and you go, man, if only we knew what was coming around the corner, you know.
For Michael? With the thrill, oh, my gosh.
The thrill, yeah, that was just good stuff, just amazing stuff.
Yeah, the article that we're looking at, it actually says that it says this is the first step in Jackson's ascension to the throne of popular music as the king of pop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you could see that.
And it really is. I mean, this those two songs that really made the pop charts, you know, Don't Stop Till You Get Enough and Rock With You, they were great songs, and I didn't recognize it until years later, of course. I don't. There's a lot of things that I didn't recognize from our youth until I was in my 40s that I'm like, wow, this is something special, you know. And definitely some of Michael Jackson's earlier stuff is like, wow, this is something special. You know, this is really, this was something that that we should not just overlook and let it go into, you know, oblivion of the past. So mm-hmm. It's definitely a huge stepping stone for him. It was cool.
Yeah.
And looking back on it is really fun, too. Yeah. I have to look up the album. I don't know what else is on that album.
I want to say What'd It Be Starting Something's on there, too.
I don't.
It is
I'm
not.
I'm going to have
no.
to disagree with that.
Okay, so
I think that is, that's from, I'm going to have to say that's from the one with, what is it, Billie Jean.
Okay.
All right, so the track listing for Off the Wall is, track one is Don't Stop Till You Get Enough. Track mm-hmm. two is Rock With You. Track three is Work Day and Night. Track yeah. four is Get on the Floor. Number five is Off the Wall.
That's
number
six is yeah.
Number six is Girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
Seven is She's Out of My Life.
Mm-hmm.
Number eight is I Can't Help It. Number nine is It's the Falling in Love. And mm-hmm. number 10 is Burn This Disco Out.
Oh, okay. The Lady in My Life must be on Thriller.
And actually, what? One, two, three. Looks like Michael only either wrote or co-wrote three of those songs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He had some major, major collaboration. I think Rod Temperton wrote quite a bit of that, didn't he?
Yeah, Rod Temperton did Rock With You. Paul McCartney was Girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
Stevie Wonder helped out with I Can't Help It.
Yep.
So, yeah, he was all over the board for writers. But Quincy Jones was producer on all of it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
of course. He had his hands in a lot of work back then.
Yeah.
Yeah, he did.
Mr. Jones.
Mm-hmm. So, 79, was that too early for your heavy metal days, Scott?
Okay, so...
Because I'm wondering if AC/DC would have hit the radar back then.
It didn't hit my radar until probably about 81. But then when you start listening to certain artists, you know, you go back in their history and start listening to them. Now, I will say that Pink Floyd, The Wall, was... I remember a specific event that in, I think it was 7th grade, I'm trying to do the math on the years of when I was actually in 7th grade, and if it was either 6th or 7th grade, somewhere in there, that they had like a, you know, a school dance or whatever,
mm-hmm.
and the DJ played Another Brick in the Wall Part 2, which is, hey, teacher, leave those kids alone, and I gotta tell you, all the kids in that dance hall were screaming that at the top of their lungs. It was amazing. It was really a very memorable moment because it was just that time, you know. And then The Wall, the movie, was also released shortly after, which I also didn't discover until like 81 or 82, until I started getting into high school, which I didn't understand that movie at first because it was very unusual. Let's just say it was unusual. I don't know if either of you have actually ever sat down and watched The Wall.
I have
tried
not.
To.
Hmm?
Tried to.
Yeah. And I've heard that from many people. I tried to, but it's really hard to follow, and there's a lot of underlying meaning in it. And
mm-hmm.
After knowing some of the history of what Pink Floyd was writing about, or actually, you know, Roger Waters and growing up in the time that he grew up in England, where it was, times were rough, you know,
mm-hmm.
coming right out of the war, things were very difficult mm-hmm. right out of
World
War II. It was difficult growing up in that era. So him going through all that stuff was, you know, brought out in The Wall, which is, basically a metaphor for the wall you put up to, you know, to kind of block people out of your life.
So, mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's very deep. It's very deep, and I didn't learn that for a few years afterwards. I just thought it was, you know, Another Brick in the Wall Part 2, the song was fun to listen to back in the day because, you know, hey, teacher, leave those kids alone.
Shame on us, Rose. Shame on us. Because we're not trying hard enough. If we can make it through Forbidden Zone, then we can make it through the mall.
I know, right? We're just not trying.
Yeah. We're not trying. We're just not putting the effort.
Although something tells me the wall probably makes more sense than the Forbidden Zone.
It probably does.
Actually, yeah. It makes a hell of a lot more sense if you know just a touch of the history of where, like if you look at Pink Floyd's previous albums, okay, they're very, I'm not going to say they're politically driven. They're socioeconomically driven. like Animals. Animals, the album Animals is so deep. If you really listen to what they're talking about, it is really, they're talking about reality in that time frame when they were, you know, in England at that time. So it's just the Industrial Revolution and all that. How there were different classes of people, and you know, if you go back in the, you ever watch the TV show? I'm sorry, tangent time. Warning, tangent.
Warning, tangent.
You ever watch the show?
Maybe we should put like something in about that.
Yeah, we should do that.
whoop, tangent.
Have you ever watched the show called Call the Midwife?
No.
Okay, so this is a period piece. It's a series on Netflix, and it's about these midwives that are in a impoverished. Thank you. That's what she said.
That's what she said. All of a sudden, we're Michael Scott in the office. All right.
It's in a poverty stricken part of town in England. And it's post World War II, and it's just really there are the times really hard. I mean, the 50s and the 60s, or 50s up into the mid 60s, were really tough in many parts of England, and that's what they're writing about. It's this downtrodden, just rough life and poverty and just getting by. It's very interesting. I really like Pink Floyd for their historical aspect. I know. Who saw that coming?
I think Pink Floyd really taught us a valuable lesson with how can you have any pudding if you don't eat your meat?
That's true.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's true.
So, good life lesson right there.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Stand still, laddie.
So then you said, but the wall was something that was on your radar back then, and heavy metal wasn't really on yet. So like Highway to Hell wasn't something that was in your listening preview at that point?
Not quite yet. Like,
okay.
I would say 79, I believe, I want to say Styx, Paradise Theater, might have been 1980. Paradise Theater might have been 1980. I think it was, because I think I was in eighth grade when I saw somebody had written part of the lyrics to Paradise Theater, the actual song, Rockin' the Paradise, it's called, not Paradise Theater. The album is called Paradise Theater. The song is called Rockin' the Paradise. They wrote a small snippet of a lyric on, somebody wrote it on a desk. And I just remember I can still see it, you know, written there on the desk. And now this was, of course, 1979. But right around that time, I was listening to like Styx and REO Speedwagon and some Journey and Billy Squire. So it was just starting to get into the more rock. My musical taste was starting to get more into the, you know, the guitar sound and the rock sound, so that would eventually lead me to AC/DC and Judas Priest and all that other stuff.
the crunchy sound that you would love.
Crunchy guitars, yeah. That's right.
Yeah.
Joan Jett, baby. Crunchy. I love rock and roll.
So
putting another dime in the jukebox, baby.
She's hot. I mean, did I say that loud? But The Clash. That was like, I guess, ranked number one for 1978, London Calling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm not part of, the Clash Army, so I don't know, that much about it, but mm-hmm. I mean, I know that they had a big impact back then.
Oh, yeah.
Is that something that you listened to at all, Rose?
No, I didn't hear the album London Calling until about 15 years ago.
Oh, okay.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm telling you, my musical taste was very slow in evolving into the massive, grandiose creature that it is now. It wasn't readily available as it is now. You know, if you wanted an album, you wanted a song, you hear it on the radio. If you wanted an album, you need to go to the record store and buy it. Just newly formed family, working in the military, didn't buy a whole lot of albums, listened to the radio a lot. And I think, having it off the wall, I think that ended up being a cassette. I'm not sure. But I did own that. But that was because that's just,
And he did say, Michael did say, don't stop till you get enough. So
there you go.
You just got to listen to more music and more music, more music. You just don't stop till you get enough.
Yeah, this is very true. So, yeah. So The Clash was kind of oblivious to me at that time, as a lot of this music that's listed here is, except, like I said, Donna Summer. And some of those are being on heavy rotation on the radio, things like that. I knew of the things that were being played. Couldn't say that I owned.
Did you look at page 2 by any chance of that, of the link that Mike sent? Or Mike.
Mike?
Mike.
Who the hell's Mike?
My boss.
Are you going to bring up Damn the Torpedoes?
I talk about Mike. Yes, I was going to bring up Damn Torpedoes.
Yeah, that was number 13 on that list.
Yeah.
Yeah, no.
Since we just talked about Tom Petty a few weeks ago, that jumped out at me. I'm like, oh, that was 79. That's awesome. Such a great album. Mm-hmm. And then The Police,
yeah.
The Police was also one of theirs was released in that year, too. It was kind of crazy. What else?
Yeah, just looking at the, for the listener's sake, we'll go through the top 10 albums here. So number one was London Calling, The Clash. Number two, The Wall, Pink Floyd. Number three, Unknown Pleasures by Joy Division. Number four, mm-hmm. Fear of Music, Talking Heads. Number five, Entertainment, say with an exclamation point, Gang of Four. Mm-hmm. Number six, Off the Wall, Michael Jackson. Number seven, Highway to Hell, AC/DC. Number eight, Neil Young and Crazy Horse put out Rust Never Sleeps. Number nine, Supertramp, Breakfast in America. And number 10, album Tusk by Fleetwood Mac. Mm-hmm. So just so you guys get kind of your frame of reference, I don't know. Michael was really the only one that kind of hit my radar out of those albums back then.
So there is one song that jumps out at me. If you go into the top 30, not just mm-hmm. necessarily the top 10, but if you go down to number 27, Gary Newman, mm-hmm. he released the album with the song Cars.
Cars, yeah.
Yeah, Pleasure Principle.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And he also released
that was huge.
Another album with Two Boy Army.
Oh, yeah. I just heard about this. I just listened to another podcast about this Two Boy Army.
Yeah.
That was the same year?
Double dip in there. Yep.
Yeah. Okay. Interesting. Uh-oh. I got to close the door. Hold on one sec.
Holding on.
Chrissy's just coming home. She went out to dinner with some friends. And she's just coming home in a minute. So I just heard the garage door open. So the dogs are going to get nuts here in a second. Hold on.
Hold it. So, listener, if you this is your time to go get a drink while you're listening to our podcast, and you know, talk amongst yourselves.
Alrighty.
Yeah.
Talk amongst yourselves. We're talking about coffee and dogs.
Coffee and dogs.
Coffee talk. The album that jumped out at me was one specific song, like we're talking about, Joe Jackson. What was his song? Is She Really Going Out With Him?
Oh, that's a great song.
Love that song.
What it's album is song. This?
Look Sharp.
Sharp. Yeah, I didn't discover him until a couple of years later.
Where did he fall in the charts on that one? Where was that?
Number 30.
Oh, number 30. Okay, I gotta go back to that page. Page 3. Yeah, that was a great song, man. Great song. Is She Really Going Out With Him? Love that.
All right, so that sounds like music, unless there's something else that's kind of in the wings there that you guys want to talk about.
No.
All right.
Frank Zappa is a very unusual and interesting guy, but I have nothing to say about his Joe's Garage Act 1.
Yeah.
28.
Listen to any Frank Zappa.
I never really have.
You know, yeah, he was, there was a lot of really good. Oh, you know, Van Halen too.
Oh,
the B-52s.
The Cure had none.
Cure, Queen, Live Killers, Scorpions.
Wow.
It's just, yeah. It was all to be discovered later on in my adult years. The Specials.
Oh, wait. I Will Survive was released that year? Glory Gaynor? Wow.
Yeah.
All right. Nice.
Yeah.
Hot Stuff, Bad Girls by Donna Summer. Nice.
Yeah.
Good stuff. Mm-hmm. all right, so TV or movies? Rose, you tell us what we're talking about next.
Movies.
Movies? Yes, please.
Movies? All right. So, confession time. You know, like I mentioned how old I was. There was a movie that was released in 1979, so I was all of 8 years old. And I want to say that I saw it in the theater, but it was one of those things where I was Team Ricky Schroeder. So there was a movie that he was in called The Champ. And if you ever seen this thing, the finale of this movie. If you don't cry, you are in. You're inhuman. Yeah, you're inhuman. You know the part where he's like, "Yep, champ, wake up, champ." It's like, oh my god, just you know, how can you not, you know, just ball up and tear up? And of course, being you know an 8 year old boy, you're going to have your rep that you got to protect. So you're trying to cover your eyes. You know, like it's just turning my eyes. It's okay. Yeah.
You might be watching Old Yeller.
That movie tore me apart, but what a great movie. Oh,
a good little actor, too.
He is.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Underrated, I think, you know, to be able to act like that at that age.
Mm-hmm.
To bring up tears and be able to really seem so crushed, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's been so long since I've seen that. I can hardly remember.
Me too.
Remember it's a very sad tearjerker. So.
Yeah, if anybody remembers, John Voight is a boxer. And I guess, you know, I don't remember that much of the premise. I just remember the finale. And I just remember there being this epic fight that he had went through. And he was in the locker room and he just got so pummeled, you know, that he was essentially dying. And his son, Ricky Schroeder, was there as, you know, he was gasping his last breath. And, you know, he starts this whole scene where Ricky just owns it. And he just, you see this kid that's trying to will his dad to start breathing again. And it's crazy at such a young age that he was able to pull that off and just own it. And, you know, of course, you know, I mean, if you watch that movie, you cannot not cry. So it's just crazy.
Sorry, are you saying he dies?
I'm saying he dies.
Spoiler alert.
Spoiler. Yep,
spoiler alert.
Yeah.
40. How much you want to bet that was the audition that they had to do, that last scene?
Oh, wow. That's a good point.
Oh, could you imagine?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's how they picked who was going to be in the movie. Because that had to be like the toughest part of the whole movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, it had to be.
If you can nail that, then the rest of the movies are walking apart. Sorry, I interrupted you.
No, you're fine. So, yeah, I wanted to lead off with my confession. So what movie did you want to talk about, Rose?
Scott, you were saying something earlier and I cut you off.
No, it's okay. Go ahead.
You sure?
Yeah, I'm good. If I had something to say, I completely lost it. I'm way off track now. It doesn't matter. Don't worry about it.
It just doesn't matter. It just doesn't matter.
Okay. Well, I honestly can remember seeing this movie in the theater with, let's see, but I didn't see it until later. I remember my son was with me. And, I'm not really a big fan of the banjo, but when there's a little green frog sitting on a lily pad or a boat playing a banjo, it's like, you really got to sit up and take notice. And you know, when he's like, are there so many songs about rainbows? What's on the other side? You know, I could watch that movie now and be just as enthralled in it as the first time I saw it.
Yeah, you know, I just watched it about a year and a half ago because I found it on, like, Netflix or Amazon or something. And I'm like, okay. I had an evening to myself. Chrissy was out doing something. I'm like, I'm watching a damn Muppet movie.
There you go.
Just own that motherfucker.
Yeah, classic.
That's right. Fozzie, yeah. You know, or Steve Martin, would you like to sniff the cap?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
A bear in a Studebaker.
Yep.
Yeah, Baron is that habitat. You know, and then
I love that movie, by the way.
Going to Hollywood. No, I'm going to New York to break into public television. Just so much good stuff in there. Just so many cameos and so much, you know, so much.
A waka waka waka.
And you know, it's funny too, because, you know, you see this movie and you hear Frank Oz's voice doing so many characters, and then you watch American Werewolf in London and you see him in person acting and you're like, something's wrong with this picture. Why do you sound like Fozzie? Why do you sound like a Muppet? You shouldn't be talking like that.
Well, I never put the two together.
Yeah, no, he was in that movie. Yeah, but this is a great movie. Just an all-time favorite. Just classic.
I so loved the Muppet movie. That was, I loved opening scene to the end. Just so much great stuff. You know, just music, Dr. Teeth and Electric Mayhem. Animal, of course.
Oh, yeah.
And then you're right, the cameos. I mean, you've got, you know, Sesame Street in there, you know, Big Bird, and, you know, let alone the, you know, Steve Martin or Dom DeLuise. And it's just so much great Richard greatness. Pryor. Yeah, so much great stuff in that movie.
Yeah. You know.
And I got to say, all the ones that came afterwards failed in comparison. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
There was a couple that were kind of cute, but Muppets in Space was kind of fun, but the Muppet movie itself, the original, was. It was hard to make a sequel that lived up to the level of the Muppet movie. It's funny that we're sitting here gushing about the Muppet movie.
But that was the era. That was our time.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
And you guys, I mean, even more so because you were kids.
Yeah, because the Muppet Show was so popular when this was, 78, 79. And all the people that were on that show from whether it was TV or movies or whatever, Mark Hamill was on there as Lou.
Yeah.
And it just, there were so many different things that they brought on. In fact, I would love to go back and watch some of the old Muppet shows and see who was really on there and how they were, incorporated into the show and what they used them as for skits and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
I haven't seen it in, like 40 years probably. I haven't seen Muppet Show since back then when I was 11 or whatever. Anyway, good choice. Good pick on the movie.
So, Scott, are you you got a 79 movie that you're dying to talk about?
Okay. There are, if we're looking at the website that you sent us originally, right?
Yeah.
What happened in 1979? There are six movies right off the bat that I could talk about. Seven. We already talked about Muppet movie. Were you talking about
definite hard eight?
So it's hard eight. Hard eight. So the Muppet movie's already been done. So Moonraker, Amityville Horror, Alien, Rocky II, Every Which Way But Loose, and Superman the movie. Now I remember watching Superman, Every Which Way But Loose, and Moonraker many, many, many times on VHS. And now, wait, let me take that back. Moonraker, not VHS. Laser disc at my grandmother's house on my dad's side. We would go visit her, and we would always put Moonraker on laser disc. And
wow.
I watched that thing over and over. I loved it. Loved Moonraker. Great. That's a great James Bond movie. A lot of people say it's one of the worst ones, just because of the time that it came out for me, with the fun and hype of the space shuttle being a possibility, and then sending them all up into space and having a space station up there. It was a lot of fun for an 11-year-old who's still coming off the high of Star Wars. Only, within a year or two later, and then of course, Empire Strikes Back doesn't come out for another couple of years, but still, it's Moonraker. I'm going to have to say Moonraker is probably my favorite. And a close second and third, almost a tie, is Superman and Every Which Way But Loose. Because I got to say, Right Turn, Clyde, I still say that to this day. Right Turn, Clyde, that's the orangutan from Every Which Way But Loose with Clint Eastwood.
Yeah. Love it. Yeah, Philo Beto was a fun concept.
Yes, yes it was.
Yeah.
And then Superman. I think this was the first movie that was a superhero that I thought was fun.
Yeah.
Okay. I didn't get into the Batman thing when it came out in 87 like Dave and my wife did. But Superman.
1989, by the way. Go ahead, though.
I'm sorry. 10 years later. That's crazy. So Superman had already had three other ones out with Richard Pryor as one of the co-stars. I remember watching Superman many times over also. With the part where we're at towards the end when the there's an earthquake and Lois Lane gets sucked into she's driving in her car and man, what was the song on the radio?
Oh, I don't remember that.
Yeah.
Take a little bit of my love for you. Supertramp. Supertramp, right?
Yes.
Okay. That song was playing on her radio when she gets sucked into the earthquake cavern as it happens, and then Superman gets so upset that she dies that he flies around the earth super fast backwards and turns time backwards.
Mm-hmm.
It was so cool.
Remember that.
Yeah. Yep. It's a good time. So, anyway. So, can you see that a lot of the movies here were very important to me?
I think Superman was very enjoyable, the fact that Christopher Reeve made it feel like you believe that he was some guy that really appreciated the fact that he could fly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He sold that, you know, where you're like, sure, you know, if you had this guy that could just fly and had super strength, he would be like him, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. and, you know, kind of dorky, but just fun. You know, yeah. And he played it so well, and he made you believe he could fly. So I always appreciate Christopher Reeve for that. Mm-hmm. But the movie that I want to bring up was, of course, Meatballs.
That was 79.
It wasn't on the list that I gave you.
I just watched that like 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, I think it's on Netflix, isn't it?
Rudy.
It just doesn't matter.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Just doesn't matter if we win or we lose. And I just love his speech. Yep. Yes. I can't get enough of that movie. I love every bit of it. And the other thing that hit my radar from the list was The Warriors. That came out in 1979 as well. But mm-hmm. as if you would have listened to an earlier podcast that we released on Bonsai Retro Club, I talked about where I never actually seen The Warriors end to end until just recently. Mm-hmm. And it's a great movie. But I realized that all I've seen was the best parts of it. I hadn't seen it end to end. So it was a fun moment of getting to enjoy that. But I think I had to be older in order to enjoy it. I don't think it's something that I would have, as an 8-year-old, I would have liked The Warriors. Because mm-hmm. there's a lot of them running around. There's a lot of the anticipation of drama without actually having the drama.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you appreciate that more as an adult than you do as a kid. As a kid, you just want to see, you know, Superman. So,
yeah. Yeah.
So yeah, I think that's the reason why that probably wasn't a big deal to me back then, even though it was a gang movie. And then, you know, some other stuff that are fun to mention is Escape from Alcatraz came out in 79.
Mm-hmm.
1941. Wow, really? Yeah, 1941 came out.
Great. I love Escape from Alcatraz. That's another one I watched several times on VHS. Like, I love Clint Eastwood was really cool back then. I liked him a lot.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Like Rose and I did that show about Clint Eastwood. I don't know if was that Reboot.
Can't remember.
Was that Bob? I think it was Reboot. It was good. That was fun. We're talking about Dirty that Harry. We were talking about Clint Eastwood and Dirty Harry.
Oh, you were talking Dirty. Yeah, the Dirty Harry. That was Bonsai.
Yeah. We should talk about Clint Eastwood overall. You know.
Yeah, like as a icon.
We haven't done an icon in a while.
Yeah.
Guys, just saying.
And then some other things that came out was Alien, the first movie that came out.
You'll never forget the part when the alien comes out of the stomach of the of the android.
John. Is it John Hurt's character? Is he an android?
I thought it was the android. You're right. No, it's John Hurt. Android.
I just watched Spaceballs.
He was decapitated.
Yeah, I just watched Spaceballs, and they did that in that part where he's sitting there at the dinner table and he's like, oh no, not again. And the little alien jumps out. Hat on. Hello, my baby. Hello my honey.
Darling. Hello, my... Hello, my ragtime gal.
Yep. So, that was pretty good.
But, that was actually John Hurt.
Yeah. What am I? I know that the android was a creepy scene too, where it gets decapitated and like the guts are all over the place, and but they're like, it's like, no, it's not blood. It's like milky white liquid.
Yummy.
And
yummy.
And Ripley actually like
I got slimed.
Ripley taps into his memory banks or something, and the head is sitting on the table with like this milky stuff pouring out of his mouth, and as he's talking, it's like all gargly and stuff because she's being able to, you know, get some information from the memory banks of the android's brain. Do you remember this part? Do you guys remember this at all?
I vaguely do. Excuse me.
If I saw Alien, I saw it once.
Oh wow! Yeah, it's a pretty freaky part.
I probably saw Aliens more than once.
That's a
good
one.
Just Alien. Yeah. So, Jerk came out in 1979.
No way. Stay away from the cans. He hates those cans. The new phone book's here.
I know. The new phone book's here.
Things are going to start happening to me now.
Mm-hmm. Starts flipping through it, realizes he's in the phone book.
Naven Johnson R.
Yes.
My name in print. God, that movie is classic. I didn't really look up the movies of 1979 other than the list that you gave us to start with.
Yeah.
There's so many more that you just keep naming more that I could go off on. The Jerk, really. Oh man.
Yeah.
Star Trek came out. Breaking Away came out.
Yeah.
Life of Brian, Monty Python.
Ooh. Yeah.
Mad Max.
Oh.
I mean, this is definitely a great year for movies.
Yes, it is. Mm. Yes.
Did anybody see Phantasm?
I did not.
Not until later. Yeah. Not until like the 80s, because it was
That was good.
The one. That's the one with the silver ball that's flying around and goes.
Yeah, on. Creepy old guy.
It's not the Disney one.
No,
that's Fantasia.
Yeah.
Yeah, the brooms.
Yeah, big difference.
Yeah big difference.
Don't confuse the two. It's not a good idea.
No.
Yeah, don't be renting one thinking you get the other. But no.
Oh yeah, Phantasm. That's that Disney movie. All right, the kids are gonna love this.
Yeah. It was North Dallas 40.
Oh wow, really? The original, nice. And who was in that? Was that Burt Reynolds?
Probably.
Not that. I'm betting Burt Reynolds was in something in 1979.
Yeah. Nick Nolte.
Oh, Nick Nolte. That's us.
Yeah. And then Mac Davis, Charles Durney, Bo Svenson, John Matusek.
Oh, the football player.
Mm-hmm.
From Caveman.
Yeah.
Dave.
Yeah.
The obscure movie guilty pleasure pick that you made, Caveman.
Yeah, Caveman, definitely. Ringo Starr.
I will never forget that. That was a podcast moment for me, man. That was great.
There was a lot of really good movies coming out that year. And to think it was only going to get better.
Yeah, actually, you're right. I mean, this is kind of a stepping stone, because once you got into the 80s, then, I mean, things changed, but, I mean, just as well. It was like there were so many great movies every year.
Mm-hmm.
Apocalypse Now.
Yeah. I tried to watch that. That was really hard.
That's a tough movie.
It was just, it's a slow grind. But, you know, it's a classic.
All right, so I think we need to jump over to TV programs.
Oh, boy. This is going to be another hour.
So just some of the webpage that I have up that, you know, some of the programs that are brought up are All My Children, Masterpiece Theater, and then we start getting into things like MASH, The Price is Right, The Waltons, Happy Days, Little House on the Prairie, Saturday Night Live, Charlie's Angels, Family Feud, Love Boat, Three's Company, Dallas, Different Strokes, Mork and Mindy,
and Taxi.
And Taxi. Yeah, just crazy. So many great movies. All right, movies, TV shows that are on that list. How far along was MASH? Was that near the end of MASH? Or
you know, they had a few more years to go after that because they were from 72 to 83.
18, okay.
Yeah, I was going to say like early 80s, I think they phased out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I know that for my mom, when she had control of the TV, she put MASH on. That's what we're watching. Mm-hmm. You know, and you know, of course, that's a misnomer saying that she's got control of the TV. She's not like there was a remote. There was the kid remote. You know, go change the channel 5. You know, and then we'd go up and change the channel 5. So
sure, yeah, well, yeah.
So it was a kid remote. Whatever. Yeah. So yeah, I remember MASH being on a lot, you know, from this list. That's the one that I got used to seeing kind of in the background, and I don't think I appreciated it until I got older and revisited it. But back then, I definitely watched it because that was what was on, because that's what Mom said it was on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of how it worked.
Yep. So what about you, Rose? What were you watching in 79?
Well, let's see. I'm looking through the, I was probably watching Trapper John MD.
Wow.
And Benson. Benson was the shit.
Nice.
Yeah, I think I watched a couple of episodes of Hello, Larry. Some House Calls, maybe. Heart to Heart. It's just whenever a new show would come on, Facts of Life, definitely. Even though, you know, I'm 19 years old. It's always that damn theme song that catches you. If you had a shit theme song, you're like, you got time for that. But, you know, you take the goods, take the bad, take them all. Now you have back to that. You're like, oh, what's this? It looks interesting.
And that was the first year for them.
Yeah, it was. And Buck Rogers in the 25th Century.
Oh, dude, that was that year?
Mm-hmm.
Buck Rogers with,
Twiggy.
Tweaky.
Tweaky.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my gosh, there's so many great shows.
Yeah.
Oh,
I don't think I watched Mrs. Columbo though, because that didn't seem to be like anything very exciting. But I probably watched BJ and the Bear.
Yep.
Maybe a couple episodes of that, and The Misadventures of Sheriff Lobo. So.
My mom would have also had Barney Miller on also at that time.
So. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Just, you know, the stuff that was already on, you know, in 79, of course. But you always want to see what September is going to bring with the new TV shows that are coming out. So.
Oh, man.
You know, I just realized I was scrolling through I did 1979 shows on Google. And Delta House, which was the TV show from Animal House.
Yep.
Yes.
Yeah. So that was the year that was released. Yeah.
I don't even know where to start on the TV shows, really. So when you go to Google and you just type in TV shows 1979, the first 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. First 8 shows that come up, I swear, my family must have watched a lot of TV. Because I remember Chips, MASH, Mork and Mindy, Happy Days, Dukes of Hazzard, Three's Company, Love Boat, Charlie's Angels, and then if you go further into the list, you've got WKRP in Cincinnati, Real People. Do you remember that show,
Real People? Oh, yeah, it's Real
Loved
People.
Loved Real People. Fantasy Island. The Facts of Life, like you mentioned.
Deep Lane.
Yes. A Taxi is great.
Eight is enough.
So when I was in sixth or seventh grade, right around this time, seventh grade, some of the girls in eighth grade thought I looked like Nicholas. So I was getting a lot of, you know, a lot of comment. Hey, you're so cute. You look just like Nicholas from Eight is Enough.
Oh my goodness.
Which, looking back now, I'm like, I look nothing like Nicholas. What are you talking about? But I didn't care. I was getting attention from older girls, whatever. Eight is Enough. One Day at a Time.
It could have been Willie Ames, so.
Yeah. Yeah, well, Willie Ames. He's all right now. Alice was a great show. Soap was hysterical.
Oh, God. Yeah, I love Soap.
Okay, now, also, The Waltons. Little House on the Prairie, Disney's Wonderful World of Color. When did I ever have time to do anything else other than watch TV? Seriously.
I know. I have no clue.
Like, I remember all of these shows. Welcome Back, Kotter.
There was actually a podcast. This is my turn to go off on a tangent. Tangent alert.
Tangent. Different strokes. Sorry. Tangent. Go ahead.
But welcome back, Kotter. There's a podcast that I started listening to called The Mystery Show. Okay. And it's put out by Gimlet Media. And they the hostess of this show, she looks up different things from, you know, just random mystery stuff that you wouldn't even really be able to Google to get the answer. So she kind of digs into it to find the answer for people. Yeah. And somebody brought up the Welcome Back, Kotter had a lunch pail that was released that showed kind of them pranking each other. And there was like this situation where one of their denim shirts was tied in knots for the sleeves. Mm-hmm. And so it became this big mystery as to where did that come from? Because it wasn't in any of the episodes, but it made it on the lunch pail. They kind of dug into how that image of, you know, John Travolta and Epstein and Washington and, all those guys are on that lunch pail, how they get that image chosen, you know, that they decided to do that. So it's a really interesting deep dive where she even goes into where they actually watch all the episodes of Welcome Back, Kotter to see if there was any mention of this prank in those episodes, and it wasn't. So it was really kind of cool.
Was it Easter egg or something?
Well, I mean, really, you know, the guy who was the artist that had created that image, he had passed away, so they couldn't ask him directly. But what was speculated was, I guess, he was into, like, cowboy culture at one time, and that is a prank that cowboys used to pull on each other, was tying their sleeves in knots. So, spoiler, if you ever go listen to The Mystery Show, sorry I ruined it for you. but it was interesting, her going through the finding different people that are involved in the show and, you know, different people that are on her team, investigators, watching each season of Welcome Back, Kotter just for the pranks and bringing up the different things. So it's fun to listen to get kind of the background from, you know, Welcome Back, Kotter lore, if you will. But, and not really getting the answer that they're looking for. So,
yeah.
But it turns out that that lunchbox is in the Smithsonian. So that's where somebody had originally seen it, and then they called her up and said, why are these guys standing there with knots in their shirts, you know, and laughing at each other? You know, what does that mean? So that's why she got involved. Well, way off tangent. You were going on your TV show, Scott.
Well, I mean, there's so many of them. I just can't imagine how I was able to squeeze all of those shows in. In fact, there's one that's not listed. It might not have been out until 1980, so I could be wrong on that. But along with Real People, they came out with That's Incredible.
Oh, yeah.
I think that was 80. I mean, like, that came in, like, after Real People got popular. I think they piggybacked and did That's Incredible. I think they were back-to-back shows, you know.
Yeah, that was 80 to 84.
Okay. So, anyway, I just, so many of these shows are just such a part of my youth. I mean, Happy Days, for crying out loud, was on during that time. Three's Company. Three's Company, you know, very risque, especially for somebody of 11 years old. A dude living with two chicks, you know, and Mr. Roper always being suspicious of them doing something fishy. So it's good stuff.
It just goes to show you the society of how we thought back then.
Or the love
and how
boat.
Something like that would be questioned today.
Right.
A guy living with two chicks, that's a big deal.
Yeah. And then, the Love Boat, you had, you know, people just constantly sleeping with each other. Just random, like there would be people that would go on a cruise by themselves, for one, is weird.
Just to hook up.
Just to go. Yeah. And then they would just get together with somebody, like Doc. Like, Doc was...
Oh,
Doc was
God.
Doc was, like,
yeah.
Doctor of Love.
It was those
knee high socks. Yeah.
Knee high socks is exactly what it was.
Yep. Yeah. So anyway,
on the ocean.
There's so many TV shows. I mean, to talk about, like Dukes of Hazzard, who didn't love the General Lee and Daisy, and you know.
Well, some of us didn't care for Daisy, but you know.
I know.
Just us.
Mostly us. Mostly us 11-year-old boys like Daisy.
We were Team Daisy. Yes, we were.
Daisy and the General Lee. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
And then Dynamite. You put Dynamite on a bow and arrow? Yeah, come on. Yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'll go ahead and admit that I watched Little House on the Prairie. I mean, did I say that out loud?
Oh. I watched Little House on the Prairie.
You did?
Yeah, absolutely. I can hear the theme
song. I thought that would be a guilty pleasure.
No, not at all. No, that was it was good clean show, man. The Waltons, same time, same era. Well, I think that was mostly at my grandparents' house. I think they leaned more towards the the more tame shows. Although they liked MASH, which is weird, because MASH was cutting edge, you know.
Yeah.
Comedy. They were the more adult theme, but my grandparents, who are very, you know, very conservative and, you know, very strong Christian upbringing, so they watched clean shows. So they watched Little House on the Prairie and The Waltons, and my grandmother, to this day, at 93 years old, loves to watch Andy Griffith's show. It's good, clean. You know, it's clean, it's happy and stuff. So that's probably where I was watching those. I don't totally remember because we would go back and forth between Chicago and California. So anyway, that's probably where I was watching the other one.
So you guys know the title of the theme song from MASH?
Yes, Suicide. What is it?
Suicide is Beautiful.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Suicide's beautiful. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do. I remember from the movie
exactly.
that when Frank, I think it was, the character Frank, was trying to commit suicide. Or was it Frank?
No, it wasn't Frank.
It was one of the other ones.
Yeah.
And one of the other characters started singing the song.
Yeah.
To the tune of what you knew as the MASH theme song.
Right. So,
wow.
And with David, yeah. Donald Sutherland in there. Uh-huh. Was Alan Alda in that one too?
No. The only one that crossed over was Radar.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Oh. MASH was a great show. I loved that show.
Yeah, I always thought that was interesting that, you know, the theme music, you know, it became so iconic, but essentially the message is suicide is beautiful.
Yeah, it was about suicide. I thought that was odd, too, when I, after I'd seen this TV show a few times, you know, over a few years, and then when I went back and watched the movie, which came out in what, like, early 70s, right? Was it before the series started? 71?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. I remember going back and watching the movie, probably on HBO or something.
1970.
Okay, so watching the movie, you know, after the fact that you've seen the TV show and hearing him sing the song, you're like, wow, that's really bizarre. They're singing about suicide. And that's the theme.
Oh, all right, I got it wrong. Suicide is painless. Sorry.
Yeah, that's it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right, sorry everybody that was yelling at your iDevices because I had it wrong. So, and what the scene was, it's like, you know, he felt alone and he hadn't been with a woman, so he decided that he's going to commit suicide.
Yeah, and they faked it for him. They helped him fake it or whatever. Yeah.
Right. And then they hooked him up, you know, as you do in MASH. And, you know, hooked him up with a woman, and all of a sudden, he's back to normal. Everybody's okay. Yay. So, get him laid. All right, so, TV shows. I feel remiss if we don't at least mention Dallas for one of our cohorts, Jill.
Yes, definitely. Yeah. Probably Knott's Landing, too.
Yeah.
That's kind of in her wheelhouse.
That would be in her wheelhouse. Yeah.
Hi, Jill. We love you.
Yeah, see, I did not watch any of the nighttime soaps.
Yeah, me either.
Like Dallas or Knott's Landing or any of those, that type of TV show. That was just nothing. Yeah. That was never on in our household. And, you know, I never got like Dave said, you know, when your mom would choose MASH, I never got to choose what we were watching. I just kind of watched what my parents were watching. So, you know, I just, that's something they never got into, that whole scene of the nighttime soaps.
Yeah, Benson would have been in our wheelhouse also. That was on.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Great show.
All right. So we talked about TV, we talked about movies, we talked about music, we talked about news headlines. What else are we missing?
I don't think we're missing anything.
Yeah, I think we got pretty much covered.
Well, just the link that I sent to Rose and Scott, for the listener, what you don't know is if you go to thepeoplehistory.com/1979, you'll bring up the same link that we were talking about, but about midway through the page, they bring up toys. There's a Farrah Fawcett hairdo.
I know.
It's a Farrah Fawcett bust where you can do her hair. That's beautiful, man. It's Charlie's Angels.
That's 70s right there. That's all 70s.
And then there's an Atari on there, too.
For $200. Atari.
Yeah. So what day did your birthday fall on?
December 12th.
Okay, so that was a Wednesday. Just like me, I had a Wednesday too. Rose? Yep.
March 13th.
March 13th, you were a Tuesday. Wow. Tuesday's child.
Toothless Child.
There's got to be a song in there somewhere. Tuesday's Child. I don't know why.
Something. I think there is. There's got to be.
Anyway.
Oh, wait. The snowboard was released.
Yeah.
How about that?
It invented the snowboard.
Yeah.
People have been breaking their necks ever since.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you, Daniel E. Chadwick.
Yeah. Thanks, all right. Daniel.
All right, so, you know, normally we'd go into the wrap-up of the show, but something I wanted to let you, the listener, know is that we're going to be taking a short little hiatus, a little break. So what we're going to be doing is just kind of, you know, taking a pause and regrouping as you do with podcasts. But what we're going to do is as we feel froggy enough, we're going to post some content that we haven't regularly posted or we didn't post before for you. So that's going to be available. So you don't miss us as much, but, you know, it'll be pretty much till the end of summer, I think we're calling it. Right, guys?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. September, yeah. Early September, mid September, somewhere around there.
Right. So, this is, this would be kind of the new content that we're creating. So you'll get this posted. You know, you don't know when we're recording, but it'll be a few weeks from now. Once we get that released, we'll have some content that we either released before or, you know, maybe stuff that we didn't post before to kind of fill in some gaps. And we'll go from there. So just think of it as like a little summer break, but, please, subscribe to us so that when we do post new content that, you'll get that right away. So this is the part of the show that we like to also remind you that we have that website out there. It's BanzaiRetroClub.com, BANZAI. And on there it has links to all of our social media endeavors. So you can get to our Twitter, Tumblr, Instagram. Some of those stuff we're better at than others. But please follow us on all of those social media adventures. I think Instagram is the one I'm getting better at. We do have Facebook also. I didn't say that. So please go do that. At the bottom of the webpage, on the first page, is this thing called Patreon. Scott, tell us about that.
Patreon, it's a great way to show your support of the show. And as we continue to get more subscribers and we continue to have more some of the stuff that you guys don't get to hear on the normal, you know, maybe behind the scenes a little bit, we'll release some of that for all of our Patreon subscribers that it's exclusive to the subscribers. So you can help show your support. It's financial. It helps us keep the website up and running. There's just cost involved with some of the stuff, and it just kind of helps us ease the pain a little bit. So, and it really would show us how much you love us just by showing a little bit of support. And that's as much, you know, I mean, you can even do like a dollar or two a month, or just a one-time gift. And that would help out tremendously. So anyway, that is Patreon. Click on it and, help us out.
You could always do the $1 million gift. That'd be great.
Yeah. You know, if you're so inclined, a million would be, that'd be cool. That'd be kind of cool.
Yeah.
$1 million. And by the way, earlier when you were mentioning Laserdisc, I don't know, I went to this Dr. Evil thing where I started going, you know, with the air quotes, laser.
Laser, yes.
So I don't know why that popped in my brain, but I had to like squash it down quickly. So we're over to the part where we tell everybody that if you got one of those iFangled, you know, iDevices, being iPod, iPhone, iPad, there's this thing, you know, that we like you to do with those things. And Rose likes to tell us about that.
Hey, everybody. So break out that iPhone, iPad, wristwatch, whatever you guys are doing these days. I just can't keep up with Apple. I'm telling you, they're just too technologically savvy.
Yeah, try the Sony Walkman, too. That works.
Yeah, Sony Walkman's awesome.
For $200, yeah, you can get $200.
I hear they're hot now.
Yeah, they're the shit.
You know what? I'd be willing to bet that you'd actually pay more than $200 for one now from back in the day. You know, as a collector item.
Mm-hmm. Oh hell yeah, yeah! You would.
Anyway, Rose, I'm sorry I interrupted. I'm so rude.
You are. I mean, go ahead.
So anyway, so hop on the Apple train and go to Bonsai Retro Club podcast. Check us out, subscribe, leave us a review or two or six. You know, we're not picky or greedy or insecure, but it just, you know, show us what kind of content that you enjoy, what you like for us to talk about more or less. You know, maybe you're a 50s fan. Don't hold your breath, but, you know, we could get there someday. But thank you all very much for listening, all the ones that we do have, the subscribers that we have. And we appreciate you.
All right. I also wanted to make sure that, Rose, you take a moment. Tell our listeners about what you have going on with your music, please.
Do I have to?
Please. Do it for me.
Okay, Dad. So I'm during my break time, during the summer hiatus that we're all taking, I'm working on a album with a gentleman. His name is Tony, and don't ask me what his last name is. I can't remember. But he does meditation music, and the meditation music is used to de-stress dogs that have been rescued from puppy mills so they can be trained and they can be a service animal for veterans and police officers and firemen injured in the line of duty. So this idea came up from a lady named Pamela. She has an organization called Lucky Pup, and she rescues German Shepherds, and she noticed that the music that she was listening to was also helping the animal recuperate emotionally and physically. So I got on board with it earlier this year. We're making some progress. It wasn't really going to be a big thing, but then it turned into a big thing. And so there's a couple of songs that I've done with Tony already. I write the lyrics, he writes the music. And I have the 80s Music Girl Twitter page, but I also have Dragons Rose Red, which is my music page. So if you find the pinned tweet, you can listen to it. It's the kind of stuff I'm working on right now. It'd be really awesome to have, you know, more people involved, more people to, you know, even just once the album comes out, it's all going to charity. Every proceed from the album just goes right to the Lucky Pup Foundation. And if you check her out on Twitter, she's fearless. The woman is just, she'll walk into a puppy mill and be like, all right, that's it. I want all these dogs. And they'll go, lady, you're crazy. You know, get a court order. She goes and she gets one. They have the auction. She buys them all. You know, there's some that she can't, but she has to leave them. But then she'll come back in a month or two, and then they'll all be gone, and she shuts them down. And everybody's going like, oh, it's the puppy mill. We're trying to sell puppies for eat kids or whatever. No, it's not. It's a hellhole. And these poor animals are starving. Half of them are disease-ridden, you know, and the people are making money because it's a purebred animal. You can't do that. You know, there's organizations for that. So you can't just start a puppy mill out your backyard.
Yeah.
It doesn't work that way. So I'm really excited about this project, my first endeavor into the music industry. To me, this is just really very rewarding, you know, and a learning experience also, just learning about music and production and lyrics, and just very excited. I'm really thankful that I work with two of the best guys in the podcasting industry, Scott and Dave. They're allowing me to take this on and get more serious about it and make more progress. So thank you all for everything that you all do, and thank you guys for letting me do this.
Yeah, we're so proud of you. You know, you're doing it. You have this passion for music, and you know, for those that don't subscribe, please go out to Rose's YouTube. What was it again?
It's actually, I have two, but it's Rosemary Fullerton. It's someone with a red rose on it.
Yeah,
I have a red rose and a blue rose, but the red rose is the music one.
Yeah, please go out there and check that out. Rose, you're just so talented, and I love you. So
thanks.
Please continue to do what you're doing.
I'm doing it.
That's awesome. That means so much to me.
Thank you.
So, all right, this is part of the show where we tell you to be excellent to each other. So please do that for us and have a good whatever, because we have no idea when you're going to listen to the show. Bye.
Bye.
Take care.
This has been a Bonsai Retro Club production.
Bonsai, Daniel-san!
Hey, Bonsai!
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 Bonsai!